Good morning, church. We are glad to see you guys here today, and we ask you to come on in and grab a seat. We're about to get started. Today is an incredible day. It's, you know, it may not be the nicest on the outside, but it is awesome with all of you here today that we can gather today to worship the Lord and praise Him, and it is exciting to be able to be a part of that. And so today, we're gonna start out with some pretty upbeat stuff. So you're going to have to hang on and sing along. But the great thing about that is everything that we're going to do today hopefully will draw us closer and point us towards the Lord a little bit closer and deeper. So let's open with a word of prayer and we will start worship together. Father God, I thank you so much for the fact that you have saved us. You have saved us by sending your Son who died on the cross for our sins. And we rejoice in the fact that he was raised from the dead and he is now seated at your right hand. And he's saying, is today the day? Is today the day where he comes back to rescue us from all the things that are holding us back from you? So, Lord God, I just thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you do, and what you will do. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place to fill us up to overflowing and allow us to put aside all of the craziness that's going on outside these walls. And may we focus our attention and our love on you today. And may you be glorified in us and through us. And may the whole world see Jesus high and lifted up. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name that all God's people say, amen. Let's stand as we worship together this morning. You know, it's amazing to think that we do have a silly thing about us in America that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and make our own way and do our own thing, and we can be successful. But apart from the Lord, there is nothing that we can do. And everything that we do and everything that we accomplish will be burnt up and thrown away. But one thing remains the same. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. And He reigns on high, and He reigns in our lives. And my hope and my prayer is that He will reign in this church, in this community, in this land forevermore. But that can all slip away if we fail to praise Him for who He is. So let's continue to worship Him this morning. Things that scripture reminds us is that the earth is filled with the glory of God. Everything cries out that He is Creator and Lord. But my question is the church, are His people filled with the presence of God and overflowing into the world? You see, it's easy for us to walk by, and I don't know if you've noticed, but the trees are changing. and fall colors are coming into place and all these things. And sometimes we go through life so fast it goes unnoticed. But all that declares God's creation and glory. But the question for us is, are we going to declare his glory? Hopefully, the church will rise up and become the church that God desires so that through us, the whole world might know him.
Let the poor man say, I am rich in him. Let the lost man say, I am found in him. Let the river flow. Let the blind man say, I can see again. Let the dead man say, I am born again. Let the
Father God, it is our great desire that you would have your way with us and among us. And Lord, that you would control our hearts and our minds and our very lives. That in our coming and our going, that everything that we do and everything that we say would bring glory and honor to you. So we just ask that today, Lord, that you would have your way with us. You would remind us of the things that you desire us to do and who you desire us to be. And I just pray that you would do amazing things in this day that we couldn't even comprehend or imagine. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus, all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated.
This has been a unique week, to say the least. And God still does amazing and great things. You know, this was no big deal 20 minutes ago, but earlier in the week, I got a phone call. And when my sister Linda calls, it's never good. And she goes, "Where are you at? You sitting down?" And I said, "Just a minute." And so I sat down, and she said, "They're taking Sherry to the hospital, and she's had a stroke and they're going to operate. So we threw it out on prayer chain, and you know, the hard-headed old gal's a little tougher, and we give her credit for sometimes, and the blood clot that came and stopped right where they did the repair for the aneurysm, when they injected dye, they could see a trickle of the dye getting past the clot, so they injected her with a bunch of blood thinners and clot dissolver or whatever, and the clot disappeared. And she came home on Friday, was zero. Side effects from a stroke. You know, not everybody gets that lucky or that blessed, but when God's people pray, some neat things happen. I want to thank you for that. I want you to keep praying for everybody that we know and love that are listed in our prayer requests and that come to your mind from time to time, because we all need it, and they do too. So let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. God of wonders and miracles that never cease, we come before you today and we say thank you for all of the answers to prayer that we received, and for the times that your answer is no, we also by faith say thank you in those moments as well. We thank you for how you work in our lives in ways that we can't comprehend, what you bring our way to get our attention. And we just ask that we'd be attentive to you and your word and your truth. That you are the great physician and you heal. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you save. And in you we put our trust. So, Lord, in uncertain times as such as these, where we have many who are sick with cancer and problems and sickness and even death, we come before you and we lay it all at the foot of the cross, saying, Lord, you are our hope and our strength. You are our shield and our ever-present help in times of trouble. And we need to hide out in you. So whatever is troubling our hearts and minds, we lay it at your feet. Whatever is troubling our bodies and our souls, we give it to you. And we say, Lord Jesus, have your way. And Lord, we pray for this nation that has seemed so intent on tearing itself apart. And we ask you to help restore this nation to what it once was, one nation under God. But if it is your will and desire and intent that this nation crumble so your kingdom come, let it be. Let it be so. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people said, amen. So, does anybody feel I'm going to get in trouble with today's sermon? I mean, seriously, I'm going to tell you guys how to vote. Now, legally, I'm not supposed to tell you how to vote. I'm supposed to stay out of politics. I am not supposed to support a candidate or a party. And because I guess someone said I can get in trouble for that. So, whatever. This will be good. But the unique thing about it is today I'm going to tell you how to vote. Because in 37 days, we're going to vote in the most contentious and important election of our lifetimes. This election will have an impact on the future of everything that we hold dear as citizens of the United States of America. And I believe that this election will be a holding point or a turning point for our nation. It will be a holding point where we keep and maintain the hard-earned, battle-fought ground that we have come to know and love as America for a little while longer, or it will be a turning point where we begin to see everything that we know and love about America disappear within our lifetimes. I'm sorry to inform you that this great experiment that we live in, one nation under God, the United States of America, where all men and women are meant to be free, will at some point fall to the natural world order of things and become no more. Now, some of you are looking at me like I got two heads. Some of you are looking at me like, how dare you say that about the United States of America, the greatest country in the world? But I get my information from the Word of God. Mark chapter 13, verse 26 through 33. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. He will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn from this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs are tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels or heaven or the Son, but only the Father. But be on guard and be alert. You don't know when that time will come. Scripture tells us that there is coming a time when all of the things of earth will be destroyed. All things created by God and all things created by man will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But the beautiful thing is that God's word remains true for all of us. And this great thing that we live in, that we've enjoyed, called the United States of America, there are things that are happening today that are ushering in a time when Jesus will come back for his church and set up his kingdom. And we need to pay attention to the signs that are coming our way. Because the United States of America was not meant to be God's kingdom on earth. That will come in God's timing. Absolutely everything that has been created by God and by man will be destroyed and there will be nothing left. And so the question for us is, what is it we're really fighting for? Most of us fight for our wants and our desires and our way of life to be maintained. And it's good for a short time, but most of us end up paying back hell for eternity. Or we support God's will be done on earth and in us as it is in heaven. And you know, there's a lot different between those two views. And there is a lot riding on this voting that we will take place and be a part of in November. It's more than just punching a ticket for a party. It's more than just getting our way, making our voices heard. It is voting to save and prolong America and the church as we know it. So as I get ready to tell you how to vote, listen closely and don't read into anything. Because I don't want you to misconstrue that I'm supporting a party or a person. The only thing that I'm supporting is God, his will, and his plan for us, his people. So with no further ado, as I'm telling you how to vote, number one, vote with your eyes and heart open to the will of God. Vote with your eyes and heart open to God's will. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, what's amazing is this. We are not told or challenged to seek our will, our desires, or even the welfare of the United States of America. We're supposed to seek God's will, his kingdom, and his righteousness be done. See, this is bigger than America. This is God's plan. And you know what? There are times when God's plan doesn't measure up or conform to make us feel warm and fuzzy. Sometimes God's plan is totally different than ours. And sometimes it means that we pay a difficult price. You know, the reason I say that is because Jesus himself had to surrender his life, his will, and his vote for his immediate context and his future glory to his Father. Remember when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane? It says in Matthew 26, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed to sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' And going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, 'Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. But not as I will, but as you will.'" You know what, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who you are, if you follow Christ, you daily struggle with this right here. And there are people supporting America with their desires and their passions more than they are supporting God. And the big struggle for all of us in whatever we're doing and whatever we're doing with this whole thing concerning voting and all the things going on and how we relate one another and even mask, no mask, all of these things come down to this one thing: God, your will be done. God, your will be done. You see, anything more than that or anything less than that is out of God's place. We have an important decision to make every day. We need to surrender and say, "Not my will, but your will be done." And since Jesus had to do it, so must we. So here's the thing. Repeat after me. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Now here's the tough thing, going out and living this. Going out and living this and going out and voting this. Because you know what? That might mean that we have to vote differently than our family has ever voted before. That might mean that we have to take a whole different mindset in how we spend our money and where we go and what we do. It might cause us to make some tough decisions that don't benefit us financially, emotionally, or take care of our happiness. Because when we surrender to God's will, sometimes he allows us and calls us to do the hard things. How do I know? Again, I'm going back to God's word, Matthew 16, 24 through 28. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Jesus said, there are going to come times when you're going to have to sacrifice everything to follow him. And it comes down to the fact that we need to be wide open to God's will. Not just in the votes that we cast, but in the very lives we're living. And you know what? If Christians lived and fought for God like he lived and fought for them, the world would be a much different place. We would be much different people. So the very first thing we need to do is make sure that we vote with our eyes and our hearts open to the will of God. The second thing is this: we need to vote on our knees. Before we punch a ticket, before we mark a box, we should be marked by the fact that we're praying about what God desires for us to do and how God wants us to vote. 2 Chronicles 7:11-15. "When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace, then had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and even in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, 'I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. And when I shut up the heavens so there's no rain or command the locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place.'" And you see, ladies and gentlemen, here's what's really cool. is when we surrender to God and His will for all areas of our life, and we hit our knees and we seek Him daily in prayer, and we come before the throne of grace. He is looking and listening close beyond all the clutter and chaos of the world to what we're saying. You don't think you have time to pray? I don't know if we don't. I don't know if there's any time for anything else. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it says if we humble ourselves and we seek His face and we turn from our wicked ways, He will hear, forgive, and heal. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? If that doesn't change the way we act, then there's a problem. Maybe who we are and who we say we are Christians is nothing more than an act. We need to humble ourselves before God and surrender everything to Him. And what's beautiful is this. Our prayers don't impact and change God's plan, but they line us up with His plan and make us okay with what He wills and desires and how He acts. Our lives can be forever changed and forever marked when we say, you know what, this is the Lord's will, so be it. And if you lose everything, you're going, okay, God, you took everything, so what are you going to do in place of this? And people who lived it out, like Job and the disciples and everything else, all these people found that when they sided with God and they were in His will and they humbled themselves and stayed on there, God did amazing things in their time. And He always promises to hear and act according to His will for our lives when we get down and we vote on our knees. And the third thing we need to do is we need to vote with our ears open and our mouths shut. And all God's people said, this side's a little quiet, but that's all right. Vote with your ears open and your mouth shut. Now here, this is kind of important, okay? You ever talk to someone? Well, no. You ever had to listen to someone that never listens to you? Sometimes that's called marriage, I don't know. But nonetheless, I ask my wife, that's what she says about me all the time. I don't listen to her well enough. And I'm trying to get better at that, honey. I really am. But that's the way it is when it comes to us talking to God and going to seek Him in prayer, but we never listen to what He has to say. But He has promised us something very important that is inside of every believer, and that's the Holy Spirit. John 16, I tell you the truth, it's for your good I'm going away. Unless I go, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Now, what's important for you to realize is the Spirit of God says nothing but what the Father desires for you and I to hear. He doesn't say any other word. He doesn't interject any other opinion but the Father's. And if we're going to go and ask God for His input, we need to be willing to listen for what He wants to input into our lives. But unfortunately, we throw up way too many Hail Mary passes, hoping it's going to land in the right spot when realistically, God might be telling us, don't throw the ball, just hang on to it for a while longer. And one of the bad things is we spend too much time seeking what Facebook, Rush Limbaugh, Nancy Pelosi, Glenn Beck, Joe Biden, Donald Trump are saying and telling us to do, instead of asking God to reveal through His Holy Spirit within us to speak and to lead and to speak and to lead and join Him in what He's doing. I'm sorry, folks, we do. From the time we get up, into the time that we get in bed, and even long hours after that, we spend more time on the internet seeking the face of the world instead of seeking the face of God. And we are seeking human wisdom and hoping for divine intervention. And does that make any sense to anybody? That only hurt one person, so I'm going to read it again. We are seeking human wisdom and hoping for divine intervention. And it's time that we seek godly wisdom and ask Him how we need to proceed. We need to ask Him and listen for His response. And not just listen for the response, we need to do what He says. It's kind of weird. But why is it we sit around, why is it we feel we have the right, as children of God, to debate the God of all creation, the one who died on the cross for our sins to save us from our sin and hell forever? Why is it we feel we have the right to debate Him at every point He brings our way, whether it's through the Word or through what He's trying to do? But God, no. And, you know, I think I see glimpses of God in me once in a while. Well, maybe not. But not one of these. It's kind of like when, plug your ears, kids. When my kids come to me and ask me, yes or no, what do you think? And debate me on my answer. If you don't want my answer, and you don't, and you're not going to do what I say, why in the world are you wasting my time bothering me? Because obviously what I have to say doesn't matter. And, you know, I wonder if we go before God and we ask Him things and He says, do this. And but God, I want to do this. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are going to be times when we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and do what He says, because guess what? I think the Holy Spirit knows a little more than we do. He knows what's coming. He knows what's down the road. He knows what's next. And we can give a best guess by seeking human wisdom, which will ultimately, how did that work out in the Garden of Eden? How's that worked out through history? Don't let history be stripped from the world, because if it does, we'll end up repeating everything. But we need to really sit down and center in on what God says. Because if you want the right answer on who to vote for or any question concerning life, maybe you ought to ask the author of your life and the one who has given you new life in Jesus Christ. So vote with your ears open and your mouth shut. Move on, preacher. Number four, vote with your Bible wide open and well read. You know what? I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty busy and I don't have time to read the Bible like I should. But that shouldn't excuse us because of our busyness and what we fill our lives with. That should not excuse us from poring over God's Word to find out what He values in this world. We should be looking to see what He says is right and supports with His power by looking at the patterns that God has blessed in the past and what He has opposed in the past. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide our learning from both the Old and New Testament, because you can't have one without the other. You need it all, and you see Him from creation to kingdom come, what He has done, what He's doing, and what He is going to do. And you need it all to make sense, because it's all interrelated and woven together. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide our learning from both the Old and New Testament. And you know what? It's kind of important that we look at the Word of God clearly. You know, I think about the Constitution and most of the laws in the United States that have its foundation secured in the bedrock of God's Word. And how over time and with neglect We have sprayed graffiti all over both of them. We've changed the law and we've changed the Constitution and we changed God's word to support our own selfish desires so we can do what we want and be okay with it. And it's not right. But both the Bible and the Bible and the Constitution of the United States are both great documents to guide our lives by. The Bible is supreme in all matters of life and creation and everything. But you know what? The Constitution being based and formed off of many of the principles that are in Scripture, that is something that needs to be preserved and protected because it's the foundation in which our country was built upon. And if we're not diving into God's word, we'll never know his mind and his heart for his people. So we need to vote with our Bible wide open and well read. And you know what? You'll stop going to other people for resources and you'll know where to turn to by chapter and verse and book. Meddling. Number 5. Builds off of number 4. Vote to support and value what God values. Vote to support and value what God values. As you study his word, as you look to the scriptures, you will see what he values and what's right in his mind and his heart and in how what should be right in our lives. And here's the deal. Let me throw this one out to you if you're looking at one of the criteria for whom you will vote. God values life from conception to natural death. Pure and simple. Psalm 139, 13 through 16, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're wonderful. Go ahead. You're wonderful, folks. And I wish you guys could all say that with the same glimmer and love in your eyes that Nancy just said that to Perry. That was so cute. All right. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Look, it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. As that baby's being knit together in its mother's womb, God is orchestrating and planning great future and hope and promise. Even before it takes its first breath. So do you think that if God's going to be that involved at conception and all the greatness of the future of that child's life, that they don't matter? Of course, that baby matters to God. You know what's really cool? I said this to Rachel earlier than a week, and then it was supported last night on Facebook when Deanne found it, so you know it's got to be right, right? I told Rachel, I said, you know what was really, really cool? I said, you want to know how you know that babies are important and there? I said, when Mary went to Elizabeth and she was pregnant with Jesus and John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's womb, the baby started leaping and getting excited. And Elizabeth was like, whoa, check that out. And then last night, Deanne goes, the first person to recognize Jesus as Jesus was John the Baptist. And I was like, Facebook supports it. It's got to be right. But you know what? God values every life from conception through natural death. And God values every man, woman, and child created and created us in his image, and we are all equal. You see, here's the deal. It says in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. End of story. Now, you can go in and you can look at the all kinds of different facets when it comes to marriage, and you can look at that. that God created the man to be the head of the wife and the marriage relationship and all these different things. But here's the beautiful thing is we've all been created in the image of God. And I praise God for that. Because we're all equal and meant to be free. That's why Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, that all who come to him, male, female, black, white, yellow, red, from wherever, whomever comes to him, can find salvation and freedom. And God has been consistent about rescuing those trapped in slavery all throughout Scripture. He sent Moses to free the Israelites from slavery under Pharaoh. He sent Jesus to come and free us from sin, death, and the powers of hell. And God is for us and not against us. I love how Jesus chose to start out his ministry. And he turned to a very specific spot. And he said, he read from Isaiah 61, and he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." That's coming down the road, folks. "To comfort all those who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And you know, ladies and gentlemen, the amazing thing is that God has never rejected or denied any sinner access to the kingdom of God, but has opened access to all of us through Jesus Christ. Whether it be pagans or prostitutes, thieves or homosexuals, adulterers or the arrogant, angry and judgmental, the liars, the cheaters, God has opened up the door to all of us through Jesus so that we could be in a saved, growing relationship with him. Because he values each and every one of us created in his image. He loved us all, even the ones who rejected him. Those sinners who surrender their lives to him and leave their life of sin and continue in it no longer, they put him in their lives as Savior and Lord. And he welcomes them and restores them and transforms their lives. And when you can find a party or a person who has valued and supported these things that God has supported, not just saying they do now, then when you find someone whose words and actions align with God's values, you vote for them, no matter who they are. But please, make sure that you look at the pattern of their lives. Because after all, we are dealing with human beings that are fallen and need saved. Because every time we choose to vote and try to support God and what he desires, we need to make sure that we're not falling into the trappings of the world. And number six, we need to vote against the devil and his plans. Because we don't talk about it enough, that there is a devil, there is someone who is trying to destroy everything God has done, which means he's trying to destroy the very thing that we are, created in his image. He's trying to wipe out all of the values that God values. He's trying to wipe us out. And he's deceiving us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "As for you," he's talking about all of us here, "you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time." That means we're no better than they are. We've all done the things that they've done, right? "Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." If we stop there, it sounds pretty bad. But then it goes on to say, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, and it's by grace you have been saved. Every one of us have been pulled out of that pit. Every last one of us. But what's interesting is that pit is the devil's pit, and he is trying to destroy and deceive and ruin everything. Families, marriages, moms, dads, children, everything. His goal is to strip away and destroy everything that God values. And if you aren't in the Word and you aren't connected to Him, you won't know it, and you might even be supporting what the devil's trying to do instead of supporting God's. So look closely at the things that are important to God and vote accordingly. Because this is not a Democrat thing or a Republican thing. It's not a Biden versus Trump thing. This is a right according to God thing versus the devil and evil and all that's wrong thing. And this is reaching a boiling point of good versus evil in our world. And it may very well be when it all falls apart here, the kingdom finally comes. But you know what? We need to be on guard and protect and preserve what God has been trying to do in our world, in our country, by supporting God and what He desires in everything that we do and say. And you know, here's the thing, and this is a personal side note. When you get into the political trappings and conversations, call out the topic, call out the idea, compare the topic and idea and attack it with Scripture and what God says, and stop attacking the person that you're debating with. Because all Republicans aren't bad. And all Democrats aren't bad. Deal with the topic. Quit attacking people. You'll make more headway with them. Don't make it personal. Don't even make it political. It's either God's way or vote against it. Last one. Whew. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. A little bit too much zeal on this side for my taste, but number 7, vote. Vote. If you don't think your vote matters, I want you to know it does. And here's why. There are certain states who have gone certain directions since politics got involved. And you may be part of the party that never gets its way. So I'm just not going to vote. But if you think your vote doesn't matter, I want you to know that God does pay attention to how each and every one of us votes. Do we support Him and vote accordingly, even if it does not matter and sway the state or the community or whatever? But He does look to see if we're willing to stand for what He supports, no matter win, lose, or draw, if we're willing to stand. And if you can't stand in the little booth with nobody watching what you're doing, or filling out the card and sending it in through the mail, then when the whole world is standing there with torches and baseball bats and everything to destroy you, you won't stand for Him then. And you know what? We have this opportunity and privilege right now. And you know, there's some changes that some people want to make, which is going to strip your abilities in the future to have a voice. And you know what? You might be going to the poll, and I guarantee you, until Jesus sits on the throne of the world, you are literally choosing to vote between the lesser of two evils no matter who you vote for. Because humans stink. I'm sorry. We're flawed. We're swayable. We're movable. Our minds can be changed. We can be bribed. I don't know if you know that or not. Cook me something good for dinner. I might change my mind. But here's the deal. God will not be swayed. What he values will never change. What he is doing will take place. And you're going to choose whether you're going to vote with him or against him or not at all. And let me tell you something. If you choose to vote not at all, you've heard it before. You did cast a vote. So stand your ground with God right now by examining each individual person and their record and who they are and see where they line up with God and choose the one that most lines up with God, and it doesn't matter what party they're from. Ignore the political parties and their banter and find the candidates that most closely resemble what God and his word and the Constitution stand for and stand with them. I just saw something, and here, I'm going to... Never mind. That might push it a little too far. Please, remember that I have not supported, nor have I endorsed a candidate or a party. I've just tried to support God and what he values and give you some things that would help you remember what you were to do to figure that out. Vote with your eyes and heart open to God's will. Vote from the posture on your knees. Vote with your ears open and your mouth shut. Vote with your Bible wide open and well read so you can vote and support and value what God values. And definitely vote against the devil and his plans, which is ultimately the destruction of not just the United States, but every man, woman, and child. And he's doing a pretty good job right now. And most importantly, vote and stand with God as best you see fit. If we can do that, God's going to do some amazing things. So I have told you how to vote. Hopefully you will vote God's way. And to be honest, with the cesspool we got to dig from this year, that's a pretty tough challenge, isn't it? Next week you're going to have these little things out there. Hopefully they'll get here. Little voter's guide that hopefully just throws out the facts of where people stand that are being elected this year, whether they stand with God or not, and vote accordingly. All right. Worship team, come on up. Rest of us, let's pray as they come. God, nobody likes to talk about two things, politics and religion, but we're in church, so we got to talk about religion a little bit. And my hope and my prayer is that each and every one of us would focus in on you and your word and what you value and what you desire and surrender to your will and vote accordingly. Lord, I don't know who that is. And so, Lord, if we are to vote to stem the tide that we see rising, may your will be done. But Lord, ultimately, if the destruction of all that we seem to hold dear more than we hold dear to you
if that is part of bringing your kingdom in, well, Lord, we'll trust you too, even in that. For because you have not let us down, and you never will. So, Lord, we trust you and we love you. Show us your will. Show us who to vote for, no matter who that is. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song. Battery croaked. It'd be par for Sunday.
All right, we'll just go.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. Bye.
Father God, our greatest desire is to do just that. Whether it be from what we do each day or to giving of our tithes or our offerings and how we vote, Lord, our great desire is that we would honor you in all those things. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll guide and direct our ink pens when we get ready to vote. That we'd be willing to stand for you and what you value. And that we would see your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, if that means we preserve what we have a little longer, so be it. But also, Lord, we know that all this here must come to an end. And maybe that's the beginning of the greatest thing ever. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Free from sin and hell and death forevermore. And we get to believe and pray for that through Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.
Take care.